Blog Talk Radio.
Table. I'm one of your hosts, Brother Dunlap, and also hosting his sister Sanders, and we thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule. And tonight we just have a great show for you. We're going to be talking about holiday priorities, and let's just start it off and go right to Adia, because Adia is going to start off the first half of the show, and then I'm going to start off or finish up with the second half of the show, and we're just going to see how God takes this. So with that, Adia, welcome, welcome, welcome. How you doing, my cousin?
I'm doing good. I am doing good, and I'm always glad to be here just to definitely share and converse with you and Feaster and with our audience. It's always amazing.
Very good. Well, we're going to let you take it away, my sister, and we're just going to let you run with it and see what God has to do and what God is going to be able to do through us tonight.
Okay. Well, we all, as we all know, on last week we talked about great gift ideas and tips as well. And we had a wonderful show. We heard from wonderful things that people shared with us. And so just to give you a little bit of a highlight of what we talked about as it related to great gift ideas and tips, we just looked at things like to where people, that this is the time of year that a lot of people do for those that are less fortunate, for the homeless, underprivileged children and adults. But it's also important for us to keep in mind that there is 364 other days of the year. And so just to ask yourself that question, what would our efforts look like if we focused on those other 364 days, or if we even focused on doing something once a month, if we teamed up with other churches or other people in our community? Not only that, but some great gift ideas is to great gift ideas are to buy things that we know that people are going to be able to use. We can do such things as savings bonds, helping somebody with, you know, get life insurance, giving blood. Those are great gift ideas, and they're not your traditional gift ideas that we normally see. We can have things to where we have fellowships at our houses, different things like that. So there's no limit to the great gift ideas and tips that are out there. But it's also important for us to understand the reason why we're doing what we do. And it always far supersedes and exceeds, you know, just the purpose of buying gifts. We understand that we understand what the season is for, and we know that it is very commercialized. However, we also want to focus on the real reason for the season, and we know that is to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, who was born for us in the ministry that he had. So as we move along into our show for today about our priorities when it comes to the Christmas holiday and season, I just kind of, you know, the thought that came to me was gifts, and what do they really mean? And when we buy people gifts, what is the thought process behind that? Not just the thought process, but what do those gifts mean when we buy them? Do they mean something to us, or do they mean something to the recipient? Is there a gap in those gifts? And so as I was thinking about this, you know, you never want to insult anyone's intelligence or anything like that, but one of the I guess the best example that I would like to share is the gifts that were brought to Jesus and the representation of those gifts. And so we look at looked at the wise men. And in Matthew, it talks about those wise men when they came to Jesus and the gifts that they brought him, and that they traveled a long distance in order to bring him those gifts. And it is just amazing to know that when they brought those gifts, after the long distance that they traveled, those gifts meant something. And here today we have cars, we have buses, we have trains, different way modes of transportation. And so when they got to, and this is coming from Matthew 2, if you want to read more about it, it's chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. But I just wanted to look at when the wise men came to Bethlehem. It says, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. And they had been following that star because it said that the star would guide them to the town of Bethlehem. And it was in the east. And they entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod, because as we know, Herod wanted to disrupt the miracle that God had given. But the gifts that they gave had a lot of symbolism. And a lot of times during the Christmas holiday, we are so inundated with commercials. We are so inundated with radio ads, with billboards, with circulars that come in our mail, when we go to the stores, on the sides of buses about gifts. You see emails. You can't go on the internet without seeing something about great gift ideas for her. And so with being inundated with all of this stuff, sometimes that's exactly what we do. We buy stuff. But I think that as we look at our priorities for Christmas when it comes to purchasing gifts for our family and friends, or that coworker, I think it's important that we also consider as a part of our priorities about what those gifts mean. We see that the wise men brought Jesus gold. And we know that gold was, or gold is a soft, heavy, corrosion-resistant, yellow metallic element that is highly valued, found in underground veins and alluvial deposits. And so they brought him something that had a lot of value to it. As we buy gifts and as we're writing out our list and prioritizing what we're going to get and who we're going to get it for, does that gift have any value to it? Because gold has value. And as we, you know, if you know anything about our history, our money used to be backed by gold, and it no longer is, but it added value to our dollars, you know. And so that was the first gift that they brought. The second gift, and just to add a little bit more, but we know that gold was a gift that was presented to a king. So that right. gift was basically acknowledging that Jesus was a king. And we know that a king is, I mean, that's royalty. The next gift that they brought was frankincense. And it, in my studies, it was just talking about his sinless deity. Gold was wealth for a king, and the frankincense was used to worship the king. And so it talked about recognizing the sinless deity of Jesus and who he was and what he represented. Even as a baby, his life had already, a path had already been marked for his life, even as an infant. And then we know that the myrrh that they brought, it talked and represented his sacrificial death. We know that Jesus was born, and we celebrate his birth, but we also know that he also died for us as well, and that reconciled us back to God. So when you look at the different gifts that were brought to Jesus, they all symbolized what he represented for us. And so as we prioritize and look at the gifts that we buy people, does your gift have any value to it? What does your gift say about the people that you're buying them for? Or is it more of a representation of what it is that you want that person to have? And so I just think that it's important, you know, even with the myrrh, and we don't like to talk about death, but just to give you a little description, the third gift that the wise men brought, it was a valuable gum-like substance, and it was used to embalm the dead. So you think, why would somebody bring something that is used to embalm the dead to a baby? Well, it symbolized that though he was born for us, that one day he would have to die for us as well. So we could not have one without the other. He was born for us, but he also had to die that we might have life, have at that everlasting life with God, so that we could see him one day. So when you look at prioritizing, when you look at what gifts represent, I really think that it's important that we take it back to Jesus and those wise men and the gifts that they brought him and what those gifts represented and what they symbolized. Royalty, sinless deity. He was a man who lived on the earth, who went through everything that we have probably experienced, but yet was still sinless, and also his sacrificial death, what he did for us. He sacrificed his life for us. And it doesn't mean to say that you have to sacrifice, you know, your life for somebody or whatever the case may be, but definitely take it into consideration as you prioritize what's important to you this Christmas holiday. Is it buying the latest gadget? Is it buying the most expensive pair of shoes that the soles get worn out on them, and after a while they end up in the back of your closet and you got to have another pair? Or are we going to buy gifts that have value, like a savings bond, a gift that's going to give somebody else a chance at life by giving blood, a gift that is going to teach somebody about the precious gift of life? And so I think that that is very important to take into consideration as we celebrate this Christmas season and understand the reason why and who it's really about, and that as we share and spread that Christmas love, that we definitely prioritize and understand why we do what we do, Nate. And I just think that's so important, and I hope I didn't take up too much time.
You got all the time.
Callers out there on the line?
Nah, yeah, they're listening. You got them listening intently, just as you have me listening intently. And, you know, one of the things that I think is very important, and I hope people really get it, Adia, is the fact that you said that the gift that they brought Jesus had value. And so when we had the show last week and we talked about, I talked about from an article that over the four-day, we'll call it the four-day weekend, from Thursday of Thanksgiving through Monday, this country spent, us people, church folk included, spent $57.4 billion with a B, dollars, over a four-day period. There is no way in the world that when we spend as a country, as a nation, spend $57.4 billion on websites and in department stores, that when the issues that are going on in our community are not getting the attention, especially from a financial standpoint, but also from a resourceful standpoint, when that doesn't happen, we have to say, at least it says it to me and it says it to my heart and it says it to my spirit, that there are some priorities that may not be there. Now, I have to throw this caveat in there. I can't say what was spent on those websites, what was spent in the stores, because I'm sure that there was a lot of buying, a lot of purchasing that occurred over those 4 days that had something to do with buying stuff for others, buying things for people that were in need, maybe going online, giving donations to a nonprofit organization. So we're not taking it as $57.4 billion was just wasted. But let's just take half of that. It may be worth easily saying that half of that, or even a quarter of that, just take even 5% of that $57.4 billion and say maybe that was just wasted. That is still such a large amount of money that can be so impactful in many of our communities that it's a crying shame. Let me tell you something. It was amazing, Adia, that last week when we ended the show, I had to go back and just listen to last week's show. And let me tell you something that you said and quote it for our listeners. You said, if it's important for us to spend a whole bunch of money on stuff, then surely we can sacrifice to pay for your house to be insured or for life insurance. And then you went on to say, how can we help someone beyond December 25th when the next year rolls around? That is a definite way. But I think what you said is key. It's our priorities. Where are our priorities? Does it matter to us, or will it matter to us when that family member comes up to us and says, hey, I need the money to do X, Y, and Z, or this isn't going to happen. I need this money for X, Y, Z, or this is not going to happen. The last thing you said was, do we pay now or do we pay later? Because the cost later may be greater. That goes back to your statement today of what you said a few minutes ago was about what would it look like if we focus on the other 364 days of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So even on last week, God was already speaking. I had no idea going into this week that this week's show was going to be about holiday priorities. And so just to listen to that, I just listened to that about 15 minutes ago, before 15 minutes before the show. That says to me, Adia, and to everyone listening, that we're on the right track, that we're following the path that God wants us to follow to be able to talk about what needs to be talked about. Let me go here. Let me read a quote from Gandhi. Real simple in three words. Action expresses priorities. And when I read that, I was looking for some quotes to bring to the show tonight, and I read that, and I read a commentary from a lady, because I don't think these are the words of Gandhi that I'm about to communicate. But this is what was said under his quote, action expresses priorities. If you think a certain task is a priority in your life, yet you're not taking action to move forward in the completion of that task, you need to have a closer look at your priorities. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you are not being entirely honest in your evaluation of what is important to you. If this is the case, take the time to reexamine what your priorities are, then take action to express those priorities. That is powerful. To me, that is a very powerful statement, because there are a lot of people that have their priorities in certain places based upon teaching, based upon tradition, based upon their own history. I know you've heard me say this on the store before. You know, we had a couple rough times in my life growing up with my mom. And my wife always gets on to me when we first met years and years ago. She would see me spend $3.50 at that time for a pint of ice cream. And she's like, okay, are you serious? And I had to let her know. I said, you know, things weren't always gravy growing up. And the fact that there were things that I thought that I wanted. There were things that I thought that I had to have, but there's some just basic luxuries. And I said, the fact that I make choices about that $3.50 ice cream. So I'm not spending my last dollar to get the $3.50 ice cream, but if I have the money, I'll get it. I make the choice. We all make the choice about the priorities that we're going to deal with. And listen to what here's the definition of a priority. A thing that is regarded as more important than the other. Or something afforded or deserving prior attention. So, Adia, as we're going into 2014, we got to be thinking about what are some things that really need attention that we could be doing during the holiday season, or that we need to be doing during the holiday season. What's your thoughts on that?
I agree with you. And I say that I don't want to keep harping on the fact about money, but I guess it boils back down to that.
It does.
Because that's what we use to buy gifts. I don't know how many people make gifts, but, you know, even if you're going to make a gift, you have to have some type of money to go out and buy the material that you're going to use, you know.
Right.
But I think what makes the difference is, I guess, the motive of your heart, where your heart is. where your heart is. And I just think it's important that we just be able to go beyond just the tangible, those things that we can touch, and those things that if a storm or something came, that it would be no more. And with, you know, when we look at priorities, and as we get ready to and coming out of this holiday season, I think you alluded to on last week about what happens a lot of times after the holiday season. People are in debt, you know, people file for bankruptcy, you know, mm-hmm. and those things are important. And what it shows is that there that somebody made a decision, but they did not prioritize their decision. What was more important? What was more important, getting that gift or going into debt, knowing full well that you were going to go into debt? What was more important to say, you know, maybe I can't afford to get everybody a $50 gift, but I can take this $50 maybe and buy $10 gift cards with them, and I can give that out, and they'll benefit from it because their stomachs will be full. They'll be able to put a meal in their stomachs, you know. And so I just think, you know, it's important that we look at the consequences and what the end is going to look like and kind of backwards plan from that. And a lot of times, you know, as we, you know, as going out of the holiday season, I don't think that's a fact. We're just looking at the right now. We're still living in that moment and not realizing that when it's all said and done and that and everybody's happy that they got what they received, mm-hmm. that then the reality that you talked about is definitely going to set in.
And you think about it, as we approach this holiday, I won't even say the season, as we approach the Christmas holiday, December 25th, in reality, we're already deep into the holiday season. I mean, mm-hmm. the fact of $57.4 billion spent over 4 days, about 2 weeks ago, yeah, we knee deep into it. I mean, there's no way to say it, right? But I do want to say this. I do want to acknowledge up front that, you know, all of us have different rationales. We all have different reasons for all the things that we do during the holiday season. So I don't want anybody to believe that we're coming down on anybody because, again, mm-hmm. you know, 10-plus years ago, spending $3.50 on a pint of ice cream, most people don't do that, not where I come from. So let me say this. You know, some people are big spenders, right? Some people are big givers. Some people, you know, during the holiday time, what they do, they take off from work, take time to relax, spend time with family. Some people go on vacation. We went, you know, right during the Christmas holiday one time, we went on a cruise to the Bahamas. Some people like me and you are away from where we grew up and living in another place because of the military or because of other jobs. So we like to go back and hang out with our family members and friends, people we haven't seen in a while. Some people go to church. Some people do big community service involvement, all these things. Mm-hmm. But whatever everybody does, whatever you do, Adia, whatever I do, as you said, we know that the holidays are going to come to an end. Mm-hmm. And when the holidays come to an end, then the reality of life sets back in, right? So, for example, you're going to go home from your training for a couple of days, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have to return back to training. My daughter, Jazz, is going to have a holiday break. But in January, she's going to go back to school. All the family and friends that happen to come by the house or the family and friends' houses that we go by, we're going to go back to where we come from. They're going to go back to where they come from. The job, who told you to take off some days at the end of the year so that you don't have any days rolling over into the new year so they don't have to pay you for them, they're going to be expecting you to get back on the grind. I say all that for people to say, okay, Dunlap, what does all that have to do with holiday priorities? It's for real. In 2014, there's going to be some things that are going to come. The things that you need now, the things that you give now, how is your giving going to affect you in 2014? Mm-hmm. What are the things that you're going to need later? And I got to say, I understand we all prioritize based on what is important to us. but we want people to really, really think about, and it's not too late, as one of our callers said a couple of weeks ago, it's never too late when you have an opportunity to do it tomorrow or in the minute that you've been given. It's never too late. And let me share, go ahead, did you have something to do?
No.
Let me share a quick story, if I will. One day this week, right, I was watching TV and flipping through the channels, I happened to stop on the news, and I really hardly ever, and everybody who knows me knows, I really don't watch the news. But there was a shooting in an apartment complex not too far from here, well, in the next city. So some individuals had shot up several people's cars that had nothing to do with the altercation. These were like innocent victims, right? But these victims, they now have experienced a whole bunch of car damage. I'm talking about they had holes in their cars. They had flat tires because people shot out their flat tires. There were several windows broken up. And unless you live in Hawaii or unless you live in Arizona right now, where I'm from and where I live, it's cold as heck at night. I think I've seen some things on Facebook from you, Adi, about how cold it is where you're at in Kansas. So here's the thing. This is what's kind of like helping drive this passion in me for dealing with and talking about priorities. When this lady was interviewed, and I say this with compassion, I say this with understanding, because we can only imagine really what she's going through right now, right? To be inside of your apartment and to hear gunshots and then to think, well, they're just outside shooting, but then to find out that your car windows have been busted out and it's like 20 degrees outside. And you have children, and you got to clean up that mess, and you got to call your insurance company. So we can only imagine how this may not only affect her that way emotionally, but also financially, right? How much time is this young lady or the others going to have to take off from work? Doing all that because of the foolishness of others, this has now become her business that she's going to have to handle. And in her state of emotion, her rationale, when she commented about how this was affecting her when she was interviewed, she said something about the broken car window, but she mentioned, look at my car window. I got to get this fixed. I want somebody to step up and say that they did this, right? Slim chance at that. But that's what she wanted. I got you. She put it out there. The other part of it was she said, I got to get this fixed, and this is going to affect my children's Christmas. She's now in a situation where she has to make some choices. But some of the concern which is there, and we understand it, right? Money that she was going to spend for buying Christmas gifts for her children, she may not be able to do right now. Not if all she has is the money that she's going to have to take to get this fixed. Don't know if the woman has insurance or not. But that goes to how so many people spend so much money because they're worrying about what their children are going to think and what their children have to have as far as what you said, Adia, some of the tangibles. And I don't know how old this young lady's children are. But I think about it with my mama. I think about when my mom said, look, I ain't got it right now because I just ain't got it right now. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I was a different type of kid. It was like, you know what, okay. And I told y'all a little bit about that last week. But if we talk to our children and let them know what's going on, then they'll understand, because there's been times as an adult that I haven't been able to do the quote-unquote Christmas thing for my children. And I know how that feels to be able to think that you have to do these certain things. We have to change our priorities if we don't have our priorities in check. Because, again, it sounds like we're saying the same thing over and over and over again. But those statistics about bankruptcy last year and the fact that February is the highest month in the year, Black History Month of all, I just had to put that out there. But February is the most common month where most bankruptcy filings are going on, and it's not by chance that some of it has to be attributed to this $57.4 billion, because I guarantee you, out of that $57.4 billion that was spent, a lot of it, which we don't have in the figures, but I guarantee you if we were able to pull out, how much money do you think was not with cash, but with credit. And how much money do you think was spent, not only with credit, but with credit from individuals that it maxed out their credit cards? Mm-hmm. Or they have an expectation that in January, I'm going to go ahead and file my income tax to get my income tax refund. If you've been listening to us for a while, you already know that income tax returns are not going to get processed like they did in 2012 because of the government shutdown. So it's automatically, and the IRS has already stated that it's already has already placed at least a two-week delay. So it's really about those, again, and I'm almost done with this, it's about those tangible, not, it's about those realistic things, not the things that we just buy where moths destroy and where rust destroy, but the things that are going to be more effective and more beneficial in people's lives, like the organ donor. My brother put something out on, I got an email from my brother earlier this week that talked about giving to a nonprofit or his nonprofit organization. And it deals with children. It's all about children. So when you think about it, our next generation, they need things. They need people to invest in them. They need less toys for more people investing in them. How many people are not saving right now for their children's college education? But for those of us who have giving heart, instead of me buying toys for everybody, why can't I do that for somebody else's child? Especially if my children are grown. I am the beneficiary, a lot of folks, and I don't usually put my business out there, but I got a couple degrees, and I didn't pay for nail one of them, none of them. Other people paid, which allowed me and afforded me the opportunity to go to college not once, not twice, but three times. Where did that happen? It happened with me, but it happened because other people decided to invest in me. And people who invested in my last degree, Adia, never met me, never knew I was coming, but they knew there was going to be somebody that was going to have that need later on down the road, so they invested. I'm done.
It's important, you know, that we definitely always just keep it into perspective. And you said a lot, several key things. One was about with the story, you know, this young lady having to make that decision about either getting her car repaired, which I'm sure she needs, and then, you know, maybe the possibility of not being able to, you know, have a Christmas for her children. And I like what you said as far as, like, being able to talk to your children, because that's one thing I think that sometimes parents miss the opportunity to have those conversations with their children. Not that you got to tell them everything that's going on, but let them know, because one day they're going to be adults. And we talk about building resilient children. That's what we do when we communicate. I know I talked to my husband, and he was like, my daughter did her Christmas list back in the early part of November and had 30 things on this Christmas list. And I kind of just laughed, you know, because, you know, everything on there, and I didn't see the list, but when he started listing the stuff, I mean, everything on there was a toy. It was stuff like, I pulled up one thing on YouTube. It was called, some kind of Orbeez spa. And here it is, like this little foot, like the little foot thing that you can put water in and just like massage your feet or whatever. They have that for children. And the commercial was like, are you stressed? And the little girl was sitting at a desk that was in her room, not the kitchen table like what my kids have to do, but at a desk in her bedroom talking about she was stressed doing her homework. Last time I checked, You doing what you're supposed to be doing. You don't have to get up and work. You don't have to get up and worry about an evaluation and performance. The only thing you got to do is get up and go to school and do whatever little bit of chores that your parents ask you to. And I guess from the stress of the day, you know, you can put your feet in the Orbeez spa, and it would just take your stress away. I looked at that thing. I said, there's no way in the world I would ever spend my money on something like that. I just couldn't understand the concept. And so but when I talked to my daughter, I said, hey, and I told all my kids, because right now I'm in school, my husband's in North Carolina, I'm here in Kansas. So we are split, and I'm having to, you know, paying for two houses and stuff. So I told them, I said, look, y'all not going to get everything that y'all say that y'all asking for Christmas. And here's the reason why. And they can appreciate that, and they understand it, and at the same time, I'm prioritizing. Because this is more important for me, for my children, to have lights, to have water and food and a roof over their head, gas in my car to take them to places that they need to go to church, to be able to buy groceries, to be able to go to work. That is more important for me than to be broke, because I have spent my last dime buying gifts that, as we talked about a couple of shows ago, a year from now, we up here blowing the dust off of it so that if the person come over, we pulling out that ugly sweater, you know, so that the person thinks, you know, that we just so appreciative of it, and we know that's not the truth, you know. And so that's something that I talk to my children about. And just and you know, Nate, you talked about putting yourself out there, but I'm going to put myself out there. 1 year for Christmas, and this was back in 2010, I said, I'm going to test my theory. I told my kids, give me a list of everything you want for Christmas. And they did. And I got them everything that they got, that they asked for on that list. And it wasn't a lot of things. It wasn't 30 things. And I'm getting older now, so. But I got them everything that they wanted on that list. And my husband was like, are you sure we should do this? I said, I just want to test what is the hype as a parent to be able to buy my child everything that they asked for, to give my children everything that they asked for. What is the hype about it? What does it really mean? I'm telling you, I was more mad that I decided to test my theory, because I don't even know if they have the stuff that they got. And I'm just being honest. And so what it taught me as an adult and as a parent was that you just spent all this money on something that these kids, matter of fact, I think got my son a helicopter. I know he don't have that helicopter now. My daughter broke it the second day that he had it, and we had to take it back to the store and exchange it. And so when we look at priorities, I could have taken that money. I probably could have got 2-3 gifts, got them some clothes or something, and had a nice Christmas and took the rest of that money and did something else with it that had more importance, with more of a return on my investment. But I wanted to test my theory and to show that it doesn't matter if you get your children everything that they asked for or get them one or two things that they asked for, they will still be grateful. They will still be appreciative. And when our priorities are out of whack, that we would kill ourselves or risk killing somebody else or harming someone else to buy the latest gadget, the freshest toy, or whatever it is that we do, what we do during the Christmas holidays, to know that our children will still love us and still be thankful, unless you're not teaching them or raising them that way, and that you can have some money in your pocket so that you can have groceries for January, or put some away for savings for a rainy day. And so that taught me a valuable lesson, because that next year I didn't do that, and there was no difference. There was no difference. I think they appreciated that Christmas afterwards more so than they did. They didn't even realize that they had gotten everything that they wanted for Christmas, and that's what made me upset. They didn't realize that they had gotten everything that they wanted for Christmas. But yet we have parents and other family and friends that will go out there and say, my child got to have this. And sometimes those kids don't even realize and understand it. So we look at our priorities during the holiday seasons. Where are yours? Is it more with fellowshipping with people, or is it more about being able to converse and have the conversation to say, I spent $2,000 on Christmas this year, which is ridiculous.
And I got to say, Adia, do you remember a couple of months ago we had several shows and we started talking about economic recovery and rebuilding and government shutdown? And for those of you who have been listening for a while, you remember us talking about not making up anything, but what the government has said, what our government has said. They have to go back to the table in February. So the temporary fix that was placed back when we had our government shutdown back in October, it's not over.
Mm-hmm.
So people have to, you who are listening, you who have it together by the grace of God and have others that you know don't have it together, we have to be willing to try to tell people, try to reel them in and say, look, you know, if you don't have certain things in place right now, know that there are certain things that are destined to come in the future. And if you don't have certain things in place right now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if our government, if our Congress does not come up to an agreement, if they don't act like those individuals who are really, really, really going to be affected, and they don't come up with an agreement, they don't come together, and we experience not, what, 16 days, but a month or 2 months or 3 months. I don't know what's going to happen. But God has given us an opportunity from the first time that he allowed us to experience this back in October to say, look, get your house in order. I guarantee you, all of those businesses that made so much money over that four-day weekend, I guarantee you they have some money saved away. They may lose because of profits. They may lose because of stocks and bonds and other investments. But I guarantee you, they're not going to go and have to go to a food bank to eat or to get food. They're not going to have to do that. Their families are going to be taken care of. So it's really upon everybody that's listening to be able to say, what are the priorities that we have to deal with during this holiday period? Are the priorities right now for December 25th, or is it about getting things in order when we have the time for 2014, which is right around the corner? It's going to be 6 days later. Because the children that get a lot of these gifts are not going to have any idea about what's going to happen come February of next year. And Adia, what's the reality? It's not going to be their concern.
No.
It's not going to be our daughter's concern who is in college come February.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing she's going to be thinking about is, okay, is my tuition paid and going to school and doing what she needs to do up there. So that burden has to be placed on the adults, those of us who know better, those of us who have the opportunity. And I think when we take off in 2014, Adia, we're really going to start dealing with saving. And I want to make this other statement, too. I think it's necessary that we make the distinction when we talk about giving and all these gifts and all the things that people are purchasing. Let's make the distinction between people that have access to it, because there's a difference between having access and actually having ownership. So there's people with a lot of access to money. Some of it comes from a way of credit.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it comes, okay, I get paid this week, I get the cash in my hand, that's access. But there's a lot of people that don't have ownership. They don't have ownership of their finances. They don't have ownership of where their priorities are. So I want to make that distinction between the individuals that, not individuals that we're talking about, but individuals who have that type of mindset. Because, again, as I said a couple of weeks ago, it is a bad thing. And as a minister, it is a very bad thing to experience having to minister with folk and to be with families, and to hear about individuals who have to scrape up money to bury individuals in their family because somebody didn't have life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago or even last week, it's understandable that, yeah, if you're $65, if you're 65 years old, it may be a little bit tougher for somebody 65 years old who has health conditions to get affordable life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just talk about us. In our age group, some of us in our age group just need to stop being sorry and just go ahead and do it. Because the reality is, it's not just older folks that are dying these days.
Right.
I just talked about last week a four-year-old who died. I talked about last week about a good friend of mine whose wife died in the early 40s, I would say. Those are troublesome times, and it's happening right now during this holiday season. I said I was done before, but I think I'm pretty much done right now, Adia. So I think I'm tapped out for tonight. Call it if anybody's listening and want to join in the conversation, press one on your dial pad. I don't belabor the points. I just say what I have to say, what God gives me, and then after that I'm done and we all step away from the table. So, again, if you're listening, you have something you want to bring to the conversation, press one on your dial pad. Send us a message on Facebook. Our website is on Facebook, possessions.resources.finances. We'd love to hear from you. And if not, if you had something to do, I'll let you chime in. But if not, I had one more thing, and I think we'll be done for tonight. Did you have anything you wanted to bring real quick?
I just had one more thing just to say when we're looking at the Christmas holiday. I know we always say don't forget the reason for the season, which is the birth of Jesus Christ. But I really mean that. And I say that because it's very easy to forget why we celebrate. And it just came to my memory that one year we had I won't say a Christmas party, but really just the opportunity to get all of our family and friends who are in the local area just to come and hang out with us. And we read in Matthew about the birth of Jesus and have prayer and, you know, we just eat and we play games and conversate with one another. But one year it hit me, and I cried that year because we had done it, I think, like 2 years before. But this year, it's just like it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, it's not my birthday. It's Jesus' birthday.
Wow.
And we want to never forget that. Because when we look at our birthdays and how we celebrate, we want to be with people that love us and that are going to lift us up and honor and celebrate the day that we were brought into this world. And that means a lot because it's another year that you're here. And somewhere, somebody with your same birthday may not be here on this earth. But even more than that, to know that I could never say that I was born to die for anybody. I can't say that. It's not to say that I would not die for somebody, that I wouldn't die for my children. But that was not the purpose for Adia's existence.
Mm-hmm.
That was only given to one person, and that was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was born and only lived on this earth for 33 years so that we could see our Father again. He was the second Adam. He was the one that made it right. And so as you go into this Christmas holiday, buy all the gifts you want. Go into as much debt as you choose to. Forget to prioritize. But don't forget that we're celebrating Jesus' birthday, that we are celebrating the day that he was born. And even then, he faced opposition and didn't even know it, that King Herod was trying, had put out a mandate that all the boys would be killed. And so they had to flee to safety. But God's plan was that his son was going to live and then die, so that we can have this conversation right now. And so for this year, a couple of years ago, I went to the store, and I told everybody, I said, we are celebrating the birth of Jesus tonight, y'all. Y'all can do what y'all want to do on December 25th. But I got a cake, and I had them put on that cake, Happy Birthday, Jesus. And we put candles in the cake, and we turned the lights off, and we sang Happy Birthday to Jesus on that day. And the feeling that I felt was so good that all I can do was cry. Because I'd never done it before, but that day and that moment, I understood even more the birth of Jesus and why we celebrate. Because when people celebrate with me on my birthday, it makes me feel good and it makes me feel special. And on that day, I felt like we were honoring Jesus and in a way that I had never thought. And I told my kids, it's not your birthday. We're going to celebrate Jesus' birthday. So I want to leave that with you on tonight, that as you're buying your gifts, celebrate Jesus. Celebrate. Those gifts that they brought him had symbolism. They represented something. Surely this year, and from this year on, we can do something to represent Jesus beyond just buying gifts for our children and family and friends and coworkers. We can do something that really says in our hearts that we honor him, that he is the King of Kings, that he was a sinless deity, and that his sacrificial death was not in vain. That's all I have to say, Nate.
Well, I think that is it for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you so much for just sitting down at the table with us. Meet us back here again next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Mama, lost the memories through all day.
And I never take for granted love.